Oh, hi, you guys. It's 11:11 on Christmas Eve. You've got LFC and Kilowatt.
Hey, hey,
hey. Hey, girl, hey. I just got off an incredibly long day of work.
Tell us all about it.
I was a little bit disappointed.
Be present.
Tell us. I'll be specific, too, because I was way disappointed in the fact that our under the letter thing that TriMet does, if you call out for any fucking reason, one day before or after a holiday, you cannot return to work until you have a doctor's note clearing you. And because of the coronavirus pandemic, that ended the letter this year. And I wasn't aware of that because I had fucking dreams of gumdrops and puppy dog tails and fudge with my best friend, Lisa. And I thought we were going to have the bestest fucking friend day anybody could ever ask for, because I knew Braylon was Brent's today. She was going to...
Who were you counting on in TriMet?
I was counting on the letter, the enforced procedure of operators being ever abundant in the bullpen that were on standby and sent out to relieve other regular work drivers who didn't want to work that day by bamboozling the station agent with charm and wit. Mm-hmm. So I walked up to Steven.
Charming wit. Emphasize that. Lovely.
I had a sock in my car and I handed the sock to Steven and I said, "Steven, can you hand this back to me?" And then he handed me the sock back and I said, "Dobby's a free elf. Thank you for the TDA." And I turned around and I walked out. Okay. I just made this up, but I wish it was real. I had this beautiful thing. And then I was so put off by the fact that my fucking phone was gone that I lost my flow. But that was a good story, right? You believed it for a half second.
Well, there's much to learn.
There was no, embellishment on his reaction.
Believing we've lost our phone.
Truthfully, Steven wouldn't even take a sock that he didn't know where it came from because he's a clean person. And neither would I. If somebody handed me a sock, I'd be like, get that away from me.
Steven, are you listening?
Probably. Mm. Station agents are cool like that. I think, low-key, on the down low. They play it while they're doing the back office paperwork, giggling about how fucking gossipy I get about TriMet. Anyway, moving on. Sorry. I didn't get to go home early, which was a sad disappointment in the bane of my existence because I realized that my fun day full of fudge and friends was not going to happen. So I waltzed out the door and I said to them, everybody that was in the bullpen, because I said, "Do we have any TDAs?" And they're like, "No, this is the first year because under the letter does not apply. Because the coronavirus pandemic prevents us from keeping somebody from returning to work if they have a clearance and they don't have COVID. But if they're being safe and proactive, if they think they have a fever, we can't penalize them for that. Because that's counteractive to the cause of not spreading COVID.
Indeed.
Nobody wants a vid. We have to be precautious, you know? Anyway. I scream out as I'm exiting said bullpen because everybody realizes that I was totally fucking miffed that I didn't get a TDA. And I was like, "Wait, but under the letter." And then that's when I was informed. So I turn around and I start walking out. And I was like, "I hope everybody that called in sick gets fired." And I walked out like a fucking bitch.
You did that today?
Oh, I did. Usually I walk in like the fucking sun. But I was ready to come home.
What time was that?
I thought I left. It was at an hour after I got. So remember when I left, you said, "I'll see you in an hour." Because I told you this is a guaranteed out. Like, I'm coming home early. And I was so excited. I was like, "I'm going to go fucking get some fun shit. I'm going to stop by the liquor store. I'm going to make some fun things happen tonight. We're going to make TikToks. There's going to be so many TikToks." And then all of the dreams that I had for today were shattered. And I was like, "Fuck everyone." So I sat there just having a pity party. And I totally forgot where I was with this.
Okay.
But
where are you right now?
Right now?
Where are you right now?
In a happy place with my best friend.
No, it doesn't.
You made my home, dude. No, look at my fucking home right now. LFC went crazy with amazing gifts. She has the beauty, the eye for beauty, and she's got talent. And
the question was to really symmetry. Drive to how you feel.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yes.
How are you?
I feel relaxed and accepting of the position in life that I'm in right now, which is not 100% powerful.
Which position is that?
The gray. I'm in the gray zone right now.
Define gray.
Well, when people ask me, "Are you single?" My answer is always not dating. Not dating.
Okay.
Not even close to dating. Never dating until I feel comfortable.
And for you, that's like 27 times a shift.
Yeah, because I usually am always the bitch that's married or in a relationship.
I know.
And I'm finally like not talking to anyone. I'm not even talking to anyone.
Oh my God, I so want to high five.
It's enlightening. It's so enlightening.
Oh my God, we just high five.
We did.
We agree.
It was a fucking moment. Oh, cheers. That's
a
cheers.
Suck my vape. I'm gonna
suck your vape. Suck your vape.
Best dick.
Oh my God, that took a turn. That was a turn. I love it.
I was just saying.
No, that's like that one guy that got on the fucking bus and was like, "You ever fucked in a hot tub?" And I was like, "Whoa, because he goes, "Oh look, it's a hot tub business." And then he turns and he looks at, "You ever fuck in a hot tub?" And I was like, "Whoa!" That was a. There was no transition there. You just said there's a hot tub place, and then you turned to fucking. It was a bit of a shift, but I like it.
That just
yours was 100% less creepy, if it makes you feel better. His was creepy.
So I'm impelled. I don't even know where I got that word, because I don't even know the definition of the word.
I think you got compelled.
Impelled.
Inspired?
Okay.
Oh, we're doing Braylon shit.
I'm inspired.
We're doing Braylon shit, where she makes up two words.
To go super public on the fact that I'm not... Well... Kayla and I are not sexually attracted to each other. In case that is something you need to know.
Yes.
That is just like
the biggest mistake people have with alpha females is that they're like bi or...
No.
We're just really powerful bitches and we're cool.
Yeah, and we need to say it right now.
I like that you said it.
Because, well, I got a couple text messages like in the last 2 days that suggested I might have a thing for you.
From whom? Well, we don't need to out the source. It's okay. It's okay.
And like, yeah, I'm super in love with you, but there's no way I'm ever going to touch you. Ever.
I know.
Like ever.
I know.
Like, no.
I know. I know that you're safe.
Because I respect you. And also, there's a thing, like, don't have a thing for... That.
I think having a best friend that you can spend your life with is a beautiful thing.
No, I've had these texts that are really like, do you think that you might like be in love with her? And I am like,
no, I think
I am.
It's like a mutual love.
Yeah, there is a thing.
It's a mutual love, but it's
for taking the turn. Let's we can get.
I think there's something really beautiful. Well, a lot of people confuse best friends for that. Because when you find a true best friend...
Is that a global thing?
Or it is. No, it's what they like to romanticize everything. Because they put they put the ultimate win onto romance. That's what society does for all women. It's fucking gross. Because they think that the ultimate goal is to find love. So that's about, all we ever want.
About 10 months ago when we first started like, oh yeah, let's talk about this. We did talk about it.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the minority... is only attracted to their counter gender. And that's like something I just developed. I pulled that out of my ass, counter gender. So whatever is the opposite of what you think your gender is,
makes sense. That could be why I've been so attracted to little bitches. No, I'm just kidding. I just wanted to say that because I was being spiteful and sassy. I was kidding. All the people that I really loved have been lovely humans. I just thought it was funny. It was a good best friend statement. I said it.
Yeah.
Best friends like to talk mad shit. We talk about big dick and dudes being bitches. And
we
go hood gangster.
We talk about girth, by the way. Sharif Trish.
Sipping on gin and juice.
Oh, oh my.
Way back. Sharif.
No. You stop.
Oh, shit.
Stop it right now.
I know, but I don't.
Okay, I'm loud.
No, you're not that loud. It was a little loud. It's also Christmas Eve. The kids downstairs are sleeping and they're waiting for Santa Claus.
Okay, why are you guarded right now?
I'm not guarded.
You are.
I just protect the concept of the little babies being woken up. That's all. Because I've lived next to some fucking loud ass. Can we revert the subject back to the Wisher Puff thing?
Oh, yes.
Can we do that? Because I so very much deeply want to share this with you.
The truth.
So when I walked into my home today after a long ass day, I walked into the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, which was the home that I moved into in April, exactly the way that I envisioned it. Down to the pieces of art that I'd not created yet, on display in the window seals, art that Braylon had done in the perfect corner pocket, cleaning supplies neatly placed on the counter with hand sanitizer and paper towels. The Wisher Puff painting that I've always wanted to hang up but
I
never fucking did.
I encourage all of you to buy it for $400,000.
You're so sweet. Well, that was the first piece of art I ever did. And it's what started me on this, like, weird analogy of a woman's spiritual growth and transformation into power and freedom through the symbol of the Wisher Puff. So ultimately, I took, like, the Mockingjay and the movie Hunger Games. And I just used, I was like, what the fuck is my Mockingjay for the thing I'm going through right now? And I was like, it's a fucking Wisher Puff. And then I just started fixating and obsessing over it. And someone was like, why do you see yourself as a Wisher Puff? First of all, why do you call it a Wisher Puff? And then why do you see yourself as it? I said, well, what do? When you blow on them, on the puff of air? You're making a fucking wish. It's a Wisher Puff. So it naturally is, that's what a dandelion is in my brain. So moving on to what I said it was, this is what I wanted to read to you, okay? Because I wrote this in 2016, so exactly 4 years ago.
I feel like I'm back in New York City in a Smithsonian Museum, actually.
I love you so much. You're so everything. No, you're so fucking nice to me.
That was not a compliment.
I love it.
That was not a compliment. But I feel like I'm back in, like, New York City or Washington, D.C., the only thing that's missing, and I need you to insert it, is that beautiful signature on the lower right.
I will.
Right here. Right here.
Thank you.
And I need, just be present when you develop your color, your design, the lettering, the logo. It doesn't even have to be.
Oh, I already have exactly what it is. It's just a K and a W encircled.
Just right here. And then when you brand it like that, what happens is we are going above $4,000. We're just gonna go over it. And it's gonna be right here, and it's gonna be you. It's a presence. And, you know,
I think you're right. I think you're right.
When you have a product, you sign it. And then after you sign it, you sell it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's what I did when I started the podcast and I kept with Kilowatt.
Like, look at your symmetry. So what happens here, which is astounding. On the left side, you have pure black and profound glitter to say. And then on our right margin, you omitted glitter and you went crimson.
Yeah.
Thus inviting perfect symmetry. Perfect symmetry, because out of the darkness, you brought light. And into the light, you brought the red and the full spectrum.
When and I got famous for Wisher Puff
white,
paintings, I want you to be my agent.
All of this white is the full spectrum of color, by the way, in color theory, and everyone in art understands that. So when you, and please take your time, if it's 10 years, then it's 10 years, but please take your time in installing your signature here, because after you do that, it will be 4,000 or more.
I will. I'm going to get a pointy tip paint pen. I'm going to get a pointy tip paint pen and I'm going to put it right here. And it's going to be KW circle. And I have to figure out the size of it. But
yeah, think about your frame. Think about, like, because collectors.
Oh, well, look at what the signatures are.
Collectors don't want interruption. Collectors, they want to have an orgasm. They want to have, like, a leather piece and, like, sit there and, you know, and like, and then, like, after a little bit, they're gonna find the signature. So I invite you and encourage you to understand
it's always gonna be on the bottom right. That's the secret.
Well, you could disrupt that.
I could put it right here on the stem.
You could just jet set it and you could install it anywhere. And I would like to invite you as a designer to install it in a way that is encrypted.
Ooh.
Because I know what I'm talking about.
I know you do. That's what I listen to.
Very smart that way.
I know.
So you could install a signature that will take hours for people to understand who did this.
Oh. Yeah. All right.
Come to Jesus.
I'll just be the undercover mockingjay of the dandelion wisher puff.
That, that's just
and
me.
Then when they follow down the white rabbit hole foot, the rabbit, rabbit hole.
Fucking matter.
Yeah, when they jump down the rabbit hole, they're going to discover this blog that I wrote that ties it in and explains exactly what this piece is. Are you ready?
Tell me.
Okay. The name of it's called Dandelion Spirits. Okay, plural, because women are not necessarily born women, but they have the spiritual energy of women. And so if you have, if you possess the divine feminine, okay, we're getting all esoteric now.
No, you've said this several times.
When you possess that energy, you are a dandelion spirit, okay? When you're in the midst of a transformational growth and you're spiritually evolving to a whole new paradigm and your brain is just evolving past your entire social circle in life, this is what it is.
It takes off.
Yeah, it's just about to shoot out. So
you made a piece as of containment without shooting off.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you do that?
I wanted to show the final product before the fall and before the replant, like the re-transportation or the replanting.
So it's perfect bloom.
Yeah, this is right at the pinnacle this is the Kundalini prime. Rising.
This is prime.
This is a Kundalini rising, okay? So the Kundalini rising starts at the base in your sacral chakra and shoots up through your spine up to your top.
And why can I not help but notice there's a reflection with your medium on your ivories? There's almost a metallic effect here.
Yeah, that was meant to...
Did you use a metallic? Yes, I did.
I used a pearl.
Oh my god. Because
mm-hmm. No, that was the color of my wedding dress.
Don't disclose it. Pearl. Don't disclose.
But beforehand, when I made this piece, it was actually acrylic.
Okay, you have to say it's acrylic.
Yeah. And what I did that inspired this was when Brent came home from work one day, he was like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I was trying to figure out what to do with my wedding dress because I was minimizing everything. I was downgrading. And I was like, "Braylon's never going to fucking wear this thing because every mother wants her daughter to wear the fucking wedding dress." And I didn't want to sell that to my kid and be like, "You have to get married someday. Here's my wedding dress. Be me. Carbon copy this." So I decided to take a piece of my wedding dress and make it into something that I love. Because at the same time, 4 years ago, my marriage was ending then as well. So it's just been a series of events, like, ending. And so he comes home, and I'm cutting up my wedding dress. I'm cutting it up. All the tulle fabric, everything. I've cut it up completely. And I've made it into actually, he kept it. It's still at his house. I made it into a wisher puff, like, on a flat wood that I stained. And then I started burning this into the wood, because I had a wood burning pen.
That will sell one day.
I was gonna make it and then put it into a flat, the plastic Pyrex pieces. Mm-hmm. I was gonna use heavy metal rods to secure it, and then put it in Braylon's room when she turned 16, so she could have the same journey of understanding what it was like to be a woman transforming into herself. It's really weird that I do this. I know that's creepy.
It's not.
I think it's a little weird. I hope she doesn't think I'm like a weird mom.
And that's why I wish to encourage you in the full spectrum of the progression of the wisher path.
Yeah.
So, like bud to death.
That's where this is.
Bud to death.
I explain it all here. Are you ready? Can I read it?
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay.
So, but it's kind of like symbolic of that story that I told you where I made that piece with my wedding dress on it. It just sits underneath Brent's old staircase in the old house. And so that's where this was when I wrote this. So when it talks about the 3-foot dandelion.
I'm moving over here.
Let's do it. Okay. So a 3-foot dandelion rests under her staircase, fashioned from jewelry, trinkets, bits and pieces of wedding dress glued and painted onto an old piece of plywood. It'll remain there until she finds the right words to describe her dandelion soul. All the dreams of past scattered in a single breath, seeds for growth lay in the path ahead. She pretended not to notice the tattered fabric on their living room floor, instead stuffing it down into the depths of a thirsty mind. waiting for sunlight to ease a buried soul. Day by day, she grew, reaching up towards the sky, blossoming into a vibrant new creature, marveling at the ability to transplant herself from one seed in the wind to a lovely spring flower. Over time, she turned inward, and that was to depict when they accept all the sunlight with those yellow blossoms, and then when they turn inward, that's the dark night of the soul. Okay, so they go in within. So there's a period of isolation, and it's self-seclusion. So they pull their beautiful, lovely, marveling yellow petals, and they twist it inward into a dark night of the soul. And that's right before the Kundalini rising. So over time, she turned inward, hoping nobody would notice the absence of her yellow petals. Twisted up in isolation, night fell upon her, and suddenly, and this is Kundalini rising, an explosion of power crept up her spine, unveiling more seeds for growth, because the life of a dandelion never slows. So even when she was just a seed transplanted in the wind, she became a lovely spring flower, and then she twisted inward and died for a bit, and then the power within her soul exploded forward with new growth, and then she is the pinnacle of change. Yeah. Yeah. And so it says, suddenly the explosion of power crept up her spine, unveiling more seeds for growth, because the life of a dandelion never slows. She transforms over and over again in a million different ways across a thousand different lands. Impossible to predict, she goes with the wind, with the breath of a small child.
That last statement was everything.
That was Braylon. I know. That was Braylon. I'm not going to cry. I know. I cried when I wrote this.
That last statement, will you please read it one more time?
She transforms over and over again in a million different ways across a thousand different lands. Impossible to predict, she goes with the wind, with the breath of a small child. To a shoreline towards a sunset or an urban city street, she'll find beauty wherever she lands, and she'll make a home there until the winds of change carry her away like they've done 100 times before.
That's your next piece.
Mm-hmm.
It is your next piece.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell I'm running out.
I love that you're so trying not to cry right now. You're so beautiful.
Present.
This is how you know we're best friends, because I can pick up on your voice tone when you're trying not to cry. So cute.
I'm being present.
I know, that was my favorite fucking piece. And I just remember thinking to myself, this is what this is all about. It's all about the motherfucking Wisher Puff. So if I ever gift you a Wisher Puff thing,
then it's your symbol of love.
Yeah, it's a symbol of self-love and acceptance, mm-hmm. and the desire to transfer that power over to anyone willing to grow. Because all they need is a seed in the wind. Like, literally, just be the planting.
So it's love cubed. It's about, you can have love, but it must transfer. It must move.
Yeah.
It must be in movement.
Well, if you want something planted, if you want something to grow, you have to be the fertile soil. In order to be the fertile soil, you have to open up your mind and get rid of all the toxicity. You can't have like a fucking sewage plant. I mean, you could, but you get some pretty shitty flowers. Literally.
Well, we call
that was so corny. I'm sorry.
And they survive. And there's also yeah. called ditchweed, all of you know, in Iowa. But we'll talk about that later.
Well, and also if you think about it, what does society do to women who are on their spiritual journey? They write them off as
Well, you know what? Don't bring that up.
Unreliable.
With me, I have a lot of data.
They get put off as unreliable, and now there's a turning of the roadmap. Okay, because society is starting to slowly evolve in consciousness, which is good. We all want to evolve. That's great. But automatically, well, it's slowly working because of where do you get the most beautiful souls? You get them from, like, the most pain and uncertainty and fear and death and destruction.
When I hear that, I interpret it as
you have to experience hell to meet heaven.
What I interpret, and it is that. What I interpret it as, people are finally speaking up.
Yeah.
And the truth is finally coming to the surface immediately from the pulp.
Mm-hmm. And the brine. Mm.
And that's where I'm feeling it.
I like it. I like how poetic we get. We're so philosophical. Cheers. And that's why I was like, dude, I thought about that when I was driving home today. And I was like, I found my phone and I immediately called you to tell you, dude, my phone fucking under my seat all day. And I just imagined. Like, I just imagined, because my mom is, she's kind of like me in a lot of ways where I work something up in my head and I get super anxious about it. And I want to make it perfect. Like, I always want things to be perfect. And nobody can ever meet perfect. Like, we don't, we're not perfect humans.
You know,
we try.
I cannot agree with you and Shona being the same.
Well, I think that there's an energy to her that is present that I inherited from her to a certain degree. And it is that ability to fixate and focus hyperdrive on that one thing. Just the same as Braylon and Jake.
The delay is different. Like, she's immediate, and you think.
Well, because I've learned what it makes other people feel like from growing up with her, too, from being hyper-focused and fixated and anxious energy. I never wanted that for other people. So unless, like, I'm really losing my shit, no one's going to know. I'm cool as a fucking cucumber, and I get it done. But then when I am anxious, you'll know. Like, it's really bad. And today, I was thinking about that. I was like, my poor mother was probably like, because I called her this morning on a whim and I was like, I need to delegate this dinner thing to you. And then I expressed what I wanted for dinner. I said, this is what Braylon will eat. This is what, you know, what we're doing. And then I left the reins and I gave her your number. And then I just left you with my mother all day.
Which is fine.
And I know, but I'm just laughing because I left you with the anxious energy of uncertainty. And I'm certain at some point she was probably like, where the fuck is Kayla? Why isn't she answering my phone calls? What does she want to eat?
Tell me about your high points today.
Like, oh, I'll tell you. I was gifted the wings from my passenger.
Okay.
Because he, yeah. I have no idea. I wish I knew his name.
Give him a name.
I'm going to call him Jordan.
Okay, Jordan.
Like the river of Jordan.
River. Mm. River. Oh, yeah.
Flowy.
Rushing. Goddamn.
It's wonderful. A holy place.
Yeah.
AKA Wingstop, because that's where all the good shit happens. And we all know chicken wings are the best.
So high point, Jordan.
Jordan brought me chicken wings. And I saw my favorite passenger, Jason, who's been homeless a number of years, finally got off the streets, lost everything again recent, still fucking positive, cool as shit, and is one of the main reasons why I think I described an instance where he boarded my bus and I was so excited to see him, and his foot was flaring with gout. And this older white man saw him get on the bus and immediately grabbed his bag, pulled it straight to his chest like he was going to attack him. And all Jason was doing was just fucking sitting there. And I was like, oh, that was a racist thing. That, because Jason's black. And I was like, he's just a big, big black dude. Like, huge. Like, this guy's like, fuck, he looks like a Samoan you don't want to fuck with. And so he sits at the stop chilling. And he's like, what's up, Kilowatt? And he's super mellow like he always is, which is why I love him. And this fucking old dude that was all agitated that we were 2 minutes late is walking out the front and he grabs his fucking bag. And that's what sort of inspired me to get on this kick of like defending people. There's subtle racist cues and shit that you don't see. Like when women like cross the street as soon as they see a group of dudes, but that also has to come with misogyny. But a group of black dudes.
Crossing the McLaughlin Boulevard.
My question about it is, does that same woman cross the street for black dudes or white dudes? Because there could be
it's
a different.
It's not the same.
You never know. It could be the same woman and making a different choice.
I have
stories. Oh, I know you do. I absolutely.
I worked on McLaughlin.
I trust.
In a horrible racist and sexist.
It's
company.
A branch off of Oregon City. It's That's why I stay away from the 33. I can't fucking do it anymore.
It's vomitous. Vomitous.
It's just exhausting. It's exhausting.
It's Christmas.
True. Merry Christmas.
What else was the high?
Okay. When I ran into Jason, he's like, I bought a gift for you and Braylon. Because he fucking loves me to shit, dude. And I was like, I fucking love you back, dude. And I was like, oh, I gave, TriMet gave us a $35 Visa gift card. Okay. And I asked my passenger, I think his name's not Khalid. It's another gentleman who, he's sleeping in a bus shelter right now over MLK and Killingsworth. And he's always there. Everybody knows him. He's cool. His gloves had holes in them. Like, but they were, like, tattered, you know? So he had, like, really shitty gloves. And I always ask him, hey, how you doing? And he was like, oh, I'm doing all right, man. And I was like, okay, well, how are your hands? Are you cold? Because it's fucking freezing out. And I was like, I'm going to get him something at Clackamas Town Center. And then I forgot it was, like, the day before Christmas. So I was like, so, shit. So, I was going to buy him gloves.
So
today, to finish the story, I saw him again, and I said, I didn't get you the gloves, because he asked for a large leather pair of gloves, because he wanted leather, because he's a classy dude like that. He's very dapper. And he was like, if I can pick something, it's leather. And I was like, okay. So I was going to go buy him a nice pair of leather gloves, and I never made it through the fucking line. And so then, fast forward to today, I'm butthurt. I got to be at work. This is garbage. Everybody sucks. I hope they all get fired. Like, that's my mentality, okay? Don't even have my phone. Today's going to be boring. I don't get fudged. This is fucking stupid. I was just evil. And so then I get on my bus. I run into him, and I lean out, and I realize that he's sitting there without gloves again, and I had told him I was going to give him leather gloves today. And then I realized that I lied to him, because I thought that I was going to give him leather gloves last night, but then I never got off early.
What did we learn?
Never make promises you can't keep or follow through with.
Elevated.
Always keep your word.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do everything you say.
If I say I'm going to do it, show up after work with leather gloves. And I didn't do it. So what did I do today to compensate the fact that he's sitting in a fucking bus shelter with holes in his gloves, and it's Christmas Eve, and I'm the empty-handed bus driver who made wild promises the day prior? I give him my $35 gift card, and I say, hey, there's $35 on this. I hope that you get the gloves that you want. And he's like, no, I want the gloves. I said, take the card, use it for what you want, and I'll come back with your gloves sometime. He's like, all right, cool. He's so cute.
Oh my God,
that motherfucker shot himself on my number 8 bus once. And I had to call it in for a biohazard, and it was fucking hilarious.
Wait, what? What did you say?
He gets hammered sometimes and shits himself. It just happens. This is life. It's, you know, he's older, and the self-control for things, and then, like, body functions shut down. So, but the guy that shit himself on my bus, I genuinely fucking love this guy. He's the guy that when you and I went to protest at the Fremont Park... Remember when we were at the, he was across the street right off Killingsworth and MLK, and we were rocking out, and I look up and I roll the window down. I said, we're going to go fuck shit up. Black Lives Matter. What? And he started giggling, and he's like, don't get arrested. That was the guy. Remember when we went to Safeway and you had to go potty?
No.
You went to Safeway and had to go potty on our way.
I have to go potty every 20 minutes.
I know, but this was when we went to the park protest and we met up with Elizabeth.
I know. Why are you trying to trigger
me? I was trying to trigger your memory, but it's okay if you remember.
Hey, Jason, but that's the guy. Shout. Bro, I get it.
Oh, no, Jason didn't shit himself. It was the other guy. Oh. The homeless guy with gloves. Jason never shit himself. Oh. Jason's a cool one. He's younger. But realistically, I don't think the older one would have shit himself if he was younger. Because truthfully, I accidentally pooped myself the other day, and I thought it was a fart. So everyone's done it. We don't judge here, okay?
Well,
this is real.
Soap
we're
is
very
for
organic
that.
Here.
Soap is for that. Yeah.
It's 11:44. We're 100% so close to Christmas. When I got off the stairwell, I said to LFC, I said, I got your presents. And by presents, I got two. And then I pulled out fucking 3 bottles of wine.
I'm just going to let you know right now. I suck, and your presents are right there in... Okay, so
I'm
for
so
audio
sorry
people,
I ever asked.
It's in this...
I should have said, get me a jar of peanut butter or something. And I failed you. I actually gave you a thing.
Kayla's presents are meaningful. They don't look meaningful, but they are. And they're located in this bag in the right of the Christmas tree. And it's going to take a lot of explaining as to why they're meaningful, but they look cheap.
Hey, no, that's the best
present. They're meaningful. Oh my God, I have like 1,000 stories.
Your fucking Christmas card is meaningful, and you're going to die laughing. You're going to pee yourself. Well, tomorrow morning, you're going to be like, oh, I get it. And you're going to fucking die laughing.
Oh my God.
I opened it today, and I was like, oh yeah. this is the one. And it was hilarious.
I have some trauma, and it's involving finding the right card for you three times, and I failed. So I have trauma. I don't need professional help, but I have trauma.
The bottoms up at our constant beautiful banter and conversation and flow of vibes that we give.
Is someone adjust this?
No, I think it's just gravity. She decorated the erase board. She's so cute. She put a Tootsie Roll gift on the top. It was so cute.
My bitch is
going to
have the bath.
It was so cute. I'm going to take a picture. Hey, I'm going to make that the fucking cover photo of our Christmas LFC Kilowatt Best Friend Special. It's our special. It's our Kilowatt LFC Christmas Special. Oh, my God. I have to figure out what to do with... Pickle.
You have a lot to do, by the way.
Before she has to make a grand exit that we can brag to Braylon about. And I was thinking of like checking out Pinterest, you know, the Pinterest. We could check YouTube. Excuse me.
No, I'm not going to excuse
you. I actually really love the fact that I'm not even talking to people. I'm not interested in dating. I don't give a fuck about what people think about me. And I'm in this high point of happiness in a safe place where I can be myself. Also, very much love that you hung up my centerpiece focal point piece of art that I'm so proud of.
Well, what I'm proud of is I'm great.
You are amazing.
I'm
you 100% hung up everything that I've wanted to hang up and don't know how.
And I just want to tell you that this is like... Metro.
It's perfect.
Oh. Not loaded. I just feel like it is so metro, though.
It is. It reminds me of, like, Manhattan or something that you'd see, like in a city vibe.
Like, I have my drill right here, and I was just like, how are we going to have this experience? And then I tested it to Mark.
Oh, good.
No,
I like that. I like his opinions. I do. He's very similar to me in a lot of ways.
So I took a lot of pictures, and then I like sent the wrong one to him.
Oh.
And then I said, I did this. Because I'm very proud. Because I'm good. I'm very good at my design.
I'm 100% enthralled at the way you placed her art in the corner. Because that, if it calls for attention, then it flows into this. Then it highlights the Christmas tree that Braylon decorated with us over the course of 14 days. We have votive candles, flowers, a fucking metal Christmas tree in the Christmas tree that is also said metal. We're so fancy. Yeah. I just feel like we are a fancy bunch of bitches, and I like it.
Girl, you just say it.
I can't even right now. I can't even. I just took it to basic bitch status, and I can't even. But yeah, I feel like tomorrow morning is going to be good banter.
I just want to say the wall is metro. I just want to say it is, because every city has its metro, and that's what happened here.
Well, it feels like...
And I would invite you to expand,
because
this is only one piece of the growth.
I need to figure out how to get more of those canvases, because that actually was a picture of... this is a picture that I painted on top of a picture.
You do that. There's others.
I did that, and I just made the background on my own.
A lot of artists do that. Like,
okay.
You don't have to disclose that.
Good. Okay, good. That makes me feel better. I didn't disclose that. That was a just kidding. I just joking.
Please never do that.
It's a JK moment. But yeah, that was a $50 IKEA thing, and then I just turned it into the best thing ever and my focal point for spiritual growth.
You know, the amazing thing they die, and I really don't like that, but it's true.
Well, realistically, with how fast I drive and the fucks that I give, like the other day I was driving to work, and it was the same day that everybody that I met wanted to fuck me, and it scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
They literally were like, after I was batting them off. Like, I was, they either want to fuck me or kill me, or they're intimidated as shit and they don't want me near them. And I'm like, what did I do to just deserve this energy? It's just here. And I'm driving to work. Like, I do. I'm going down the fucking road. And this goddamn asshole who lives on Brent Street. Thank you. He's living on Brent Street. I don't know who the fuck this guy is. No license plate.
Do you want me to show you all of the texts that Brent and I shared today?
I would love that. I would absolutely love that. That would be because so cool.
That's how it works.
Oh, no. I thought you meant like something like...
No, it wasn't anything.
Oh. Like, no, I trust you.
I was just confirming like...
I trust you implicitly. I literally trust you with my life and my child's life. That's a pretty good fucking level of trust.
Like, what text?
I think I trust you more than I trust my mom with my child's life, because my mom doesn't understand how fucking fast Braylon is. Braylon will fucking slip out of your hand in 2 seconds and she'll be right in front of a semi truck. And I'm like, oh God, oh God.
No, it's not a lie. I was just like, I'm not talking.
You're not skeezing on my dude. He's not my dude.
I'm confirming. Time. That was my
one. I get you.
Time.
I got you, boo.
Noon.
I got you.
Legit?
Okay. I really got you. I love you.
What are you doing right now?
I was going to pour myself. Oh, that purple mug that I have in there is full of Pinot Grigio. Because guess who's a fucking minimizer packager? I went into Walgreens, bought my own can of Pinot Grigio, and then I put it all in one said container so that I could ice it. Isn't that brilliant? I feel like a fucking genius.
It's not purple. That's like a lovely...
It's the same color as my Carhartt. It's
like a lush lavender.
It's like a lavender.
Oh. Anyway, I'm so excited about...
We get to have Christmas so tomorrow.
For
I can't wait for Braylon to open up her presents.
Okay, freaking so out. Tell me everything, because I'm so excited.
I'm excited to see.
I'm just excited.
I actually, you know, my favorite part about Christmas
is
it's watching the reaction of people that
never seen this
that haven't seen your kid react to cool shit. Braylon doesn't react to cool shit normally on a daily basis because their life's kind of lame. And I can't wait to see her face.
No, she thinks her life is lame.
It's a little lame because of COVID and the sad. There's all been right, a lot of sad.
Well, we're going to talk about that because my doctor said that today.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Trent, by the way. Trent, yeah. Wine.
Oh, he would be Trent.
I have a glass of wine with you.
Oh, Trent. Oh, maybe it's a nice Trent.
It's just a nice Trent.
Okay.
It's a nice Trent.
That's a cheers. So, that's a cheers.
The kid.
So when she gets excited, she does this thing where she first reacts. Oh no.
Have you ever had your ice attack you?
Yeah, because it stuck to the other ice and then it stuck to the bottom of the glass and then it clicked back.
Like you have this like $80.
It's like the look on my face the first time I figured out how a fucking cowboy shaped beer mug works.
Like,
have you ever taken a drink of a beer mug shaped like a boot? You ever done that? There's a kickback, and it's offensive. Goes right down the boot.
Did you say beer out of a boot?
Yeah, but it's a glass boot. It's a glass boot. It's just shaped. It's a shaped glass boot. So it's just a cup that's shaped like a boot because it's a fucking cowboy town. And so I went down to the street, and I was like, can I have a Hefeweizen, please? And then they got, can I please have a German beer in your fucking whiskey tango arena? Yes, we have some... Can I have some more hops? Thanks. And so they hand me the beer and the boot, and I fucking grab the beer and I drink it like I would a normal fucking beer. Like you just grab it and take a swig. And as I do it, the fucking beer at the base of the boot kicks up at the top and does some weird fucking wave shit and shoots it out across my freshly done makeup down my blouse. And I'm like, what the fuck? And they all start giggling and they're like, you never drank beer out of a boot before? And I said, no, because I have class. And I didn't understand that there was a thing with this. Y'all like beer out of a boot. And it shoots up your nose. It's very offensive. You feel like you went swimming and like flipped backwards too long and it went up your nose. Like, it's just... I'm petting my eyelashes because I got upset.
How do you swim backwards with water?
It's just, you know, like when you're like a little kid and you're like swimming around in a pool and you do a backward flip underwater.
Trust me,
and
I there's think like I had a brain injury.
Yeah, it actually fucking hurts. And I was like, dude, I'm never gonna be a mermaid because this hurts. Like, anyway.
So, top three.
So
2020 lessons.
Oh. And
top three. 2020 memories, top three 2020 loves, and those are different from memories.
Okay, so we've got top three loves, top three memories, mm-hmm. and top three
favorites. I don't even know what I said. I just had some wine.
Oh, that's okay. I was just trying to make sure I did what you did with the details, and it's kind of cute. So the top three loves would be finally coming to terms with my ex-husband, who was very abusive to me, okay. and coming to some type of agreement that our main focal point will always be Jacob and his well-being, and sympathizing. Well, like maybe that's, oh yeah, that's what it was. The third one was what you learned. So that would be number one for what I learned. Mm-hmm. And I realized that we're both just humans who are flawed and act differently because of our own personal experiences. And he tried very, 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 very long to apologize over and over and over again. And it was very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I kept having to explain to him, I've already left that behind. It doesn't hold power over me anymore. And I appreciate you taking the time to apologize, but you were already forgiven as soon as I let it go. Because I allowed you to be a new human, because you clearly were a new human. Like, you weren't the same person you were with me. And now it's a new day.
Changing.
Yeah. We've evolved past that paradigm of just victim.
Pause.
Perpetrator. Yeah.
We're always changing. And that is the one beauty in every successful relationship, is to accept we are always changing.
I like that. I also think that there's something about that that I don't understand, because the relationship I had with Brent never allowed for much change. It did. I always got to do my own thing, but it was more of like an allowance of my change that had already occurred. So I'll just allow you to paint your shit in the living room and store your shit under my staircase, but I'm going to perceive you as the same human I met you at 22. And it never evolved. There wasn't like a, it just stayed the same. And so my biggest fear moving forward in this world of ours and deciding to fully commit to having a relationship is understanding what it's like to change with someone, because I've never done that. It always stayed the same. It was always the same. And I think that's why I broke away, because I was like, dude, like, do something with the. I understand that you've changed on a fundamental soul, spiritual level as a person, because you've survived with me. But how did you change? Please converse with me these things so I can see it and understand how your perspectives changed. But we never talked, and it was just like living. We're just living, you know. And so I want to do more understanding of what growing with someone is like and changing with them as two individuals. That's more interesting to me than spending 25 years next to the same motherfucker you were at 22. It doesn't mean you didn't survive shit together. And there's not a lack of beauty. It's just I would like to reach a new level of understanding, because that's where I'm at, is I want to fully conceptualize what it is to change next to another person and see them and how they've evolved and how they understand how they've evolved. But that's my first lesson.
That
could be my second lesson. It's whatever.
It was compounded.
It was a little bit. And then my third lesson is, it doesn't matter how much you fear something that is going to happen inevitably.
Let's talk about that.
It will not change the outcome. If something is destined to be, if the person that is yours is out there and you're not meant to be with someone, that relationship ultimately will end, no matter how much you want it to keep going and continue to be comfortable. Because eventually, who is yours will come to you the same way.
Please tell me how you feel in saying that.
I don't ever fear my future because I know everything that is mine will be mine. And I've spent way too much time in my life worrying about all the things that I couldn't control and everything that fell apart and everything that came back together in different ways and trying to, like, influence an outcome to my liking.
How would you speak to your 14-year-old self in this regard?
Exactly as my grandmother, who reached out from beyond the fucking grave to my friend Brenna, who's a fucking medium. My grandmother approached me, or actually she approached Brenna multiple times and wouldn't fucking leave her alone. And Brenna was like, yo, this bitch, she wants to talk to you. And I can't get her out of my fucking face. She keeps describing one picture because she knows that you know exactly what picture it is. And she was right. It was one picture of me, Jake, my mom, on my grandmother's, like, little ottoman, and we're all sitting, and it was just a picture to capture all the generations. We even set a timer. And when we did that, I kept it forever. Like, I still have it. And I don't show anybody because I had, number one, I had a cold sore. I had a giant zit on my forehead. I looked like fucking shit because I had just had Jake, so I was all puffy. And it was just, like, the worst picture I've ever had. But it's important because it's all the generations, and my grandmother was getting sick at that point. And so I knew that this was the only time I was going to get a picture of all of us in one shot. So my grandmother describes everything that we were all wearing. She describes her haircut.
Please restate her name.
Betty.
Full name.
Betty Brunton.
Thank you.
Actually, Betty Miller, but it was Betty Brunton Miller because she kept... The women in our family keep the fucking dudes' last names because we're spiteful like that. We don't want to fucking go wait in line because you decided to be a dumbass. I'm going to fucking keep this name, and it's mine. I already decided it's mine. I like the way I spell my name now. I like the way my signature looks. I'm keeping it. Fuck yourself. Just because us is over doesn't mean the new me is not here. So anyway, she came to my friend Brenna and described this picture. And she said, look, she has something really important to tell you. She really wants you to know this. And I can't make sense of it, but it never makes sense to me. I just tell the people the things so they leave me the fuck alone. Because these people will come harass her until they go talk to loved ones. It's a fucked up life this woman leads, but she's so smart. She used to work at Hooters with me, and we had very typical lifestyles. She was a military life.
That's right. You worked at Hooters.
For a month. I quit. I went to Domino's. But she and I worked at Hooters for a month, and so that's where we came from, okay? We came from a military town, military wives, stay-at-home moms, turned Hooter girls, and then fast forward, we're both on, like, spiritual paths and doing esoteric witch magic shit, and it's fucking funny. And so she reaches out to me one day, and she's like, yo, some bitch is trying to reach you. And I didn't know if it – yeah, she just – well, that's how we talk. We're, like, gangster shit. And so.
Some bitch.
Yeah, some bitch. Well, like that fucking guy. Everybody knows, like, when you talk about the guy, like, oh my God, so much animosity for the guy. No, I just, that's how I talk. I talk like a fucking from New Jersey or New York. Like, this fucking guy.
Roll on.
That bitch. Like, but we don't hate them. We're just, that's how we talk. Nice. So then she says to me, my grandmother from the dead sends this message beyond the grave to my psychic friend. And tells me, you will have one of two choices to make. And it won't matter what path you take. One will be easier, the other will be harder. But at the end, it's all going to be okay. And basically what it means is all the time that you spend agonizing over the shit that you should or shouldn't do and how it's going to change or deflect your whole life, it doesn't matter what path you take. Because at the end, it's still going to be okay. No matter what happens, you're going to be okay at the end of this shit. And it's fine.
And this is where
you're still going to learn.
Understand that everything turns out for good.
Mm-hmm. That's why I said what's mine will be mine eventually. And as it always has and it always will be. what's yours.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, what's
I'm
yours and is
proud of
meant
you.
To be yours will always come to you just the same. We don't have to go out and fight it. We don't have to fucking wake up at 6 a.m. and take our vitamins
it
and work out.
It always turns out
for you. You could literally be hungover every day for the rest of your life, and the shit that's yours will still come to you. Mm-hmm. It's true. People make up this weird checklist of things they have to do in order to get their future. And the future is already coming for you. We're on a fucking track. This is a max track. And we're just cruising on down. Anyway, I would like to hear your three lessons. Because I just shared my three lessons, and I want to hear your three lessons.
Oh, I feel like I could never, never top that.
Oh, there's no topping.
I could never even need it.
There's never a topping. It's always just a shared experience, a no, parallel.
I have reverence for you.
Ditto.
I have pure respect and reverence for you tonight. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, because it is 12:06 p.m. a.m.
Oh,
it's exactly
Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I think this calls for one TikTok where we make, and then we'll post a link. It's going to be funny.
Okay.
We should do one TikTok. Because we keep talking about making all these TikToks. Can we just do one?
Yeah.
And we'll get it under the belt.
The best friend challenge.
Best friend challenge. Let's do it. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. We're doing it. All right, you guys.
A different jacket for that shit, though. Because I am all about the jacket.
Ooh, I love it.
I am.
We have talked. Ooh, we just talked for the longest time we've ever talked on any podcast.
No.
Consecutively, we've talked for 56 minutes and 16 seconds. Oh, you do all the things you like to do. I'm going to continue to sit and figure out
which one. I have
one. Oh, I like it. Let's do it. All right, I'm going to go ahead and put this on pause. Good night, you guys. Merry Christmas.
Oh, okay. And then I'm going to be the athleisure.
I like it. And we shall pick this up in the AM after we figure out. We're just going this is going to be a fun. It's going to be a fun Christmas marathon. Oh my God, I love it. This is going to be so funny. Okay. All right, I love it. Okay.